First of all, I want to welcome everyone to this teleconference. It's really great to have all of you here on a Saturday morning here in Vancouver anyways. And so thank you so much for taking time out of your Saturday to join us for our call, which we'll be talking about braille displays and mobile devices. So that's a really great topic, something that I'm really interested in hearing about. I've muted everyone. But if you, when we get to the question period near the end, if you want to unmute yourselves, if you're on a computer, if you're on the phone, it's *6. If you're on the iPhone, it's the mute button near the bottom of your screen. And if you are on a computer, on a PC, it's Alt-A. I don't know if anybody has a Mac here. I was trying to find
Command
out
A.
What
Command
that is.
A,
Command Shift A,
actually. Yeah.
Command Shift A. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you. Okay. So, but anyway, so I just want to also say that this teleconference is going to be recorded. And the reason we record it is so that we can put the recorded presentation to everyone if they would like to have it. We also can put it up onto our YouTube page as well. So the way that it's going to work here is that we're going to ask our speakers to present first, and then at the end, we'll have questions. So if you do have questions throughout, you can raise your hand, but we will get to it once the presentation is over. And that's due to the recording feature, so that everything is all together, and then we can do the questions at the end. So if you could just note your questions throughout the presentation, that would be great. What I wanted to also say that we offer teleconferences every 2 months, and these are free to members. But if anyone here is not a member and you're interested in joining, or you are a member and you need to renew your membership, or you'd like to renew your membership, you can contact us directly, or you can go to our website. I think most people here know what our website is, but it's www.brailleliteracycanada.ca. Or you can email us if you have any questions about membership or about anything else related to Braille Literacy Canada or BLC. Okay, so just looking here. Now I would like to actually introduce our speakers. I think I've covered all the housekeeping. This is my first time moderating, so if I forget anything, please excuse that. But I'm trying to remember everything here. So I want to introduce our speakers. I'm not going to say a lot about them because I think that most, if not all of you here, know who they are. Kim Kilpatrick and Leo Bizanet are going to be talking today about Braille displays and mobile devices. So I'm going to turn it over to them, and they can provide any kind of introductory comments about themselves if they wish to as well. So I'll turn it over to Kim and Leo. Thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Well, maybe to get us started, let me say that I'm very pleased to be here. I've been a Braille user forever, but it was in the 1980s that I first had any kind of access to a Braille display. And if anybody is in the same age category as me, you may remember the first generation of the first Brailles. They were cassette-driven Braille displays, and that really triggered a whole new range of possibilities. And indeed, today, what we have, well, at one point as we were preparing for this, I found out that there were approximately 70 Braille displays available at some point. And again, at the end of our presentation, we're going to share a few observations about what is coming in the future when we talk about humanware and so forth later on. So, by way of a start, let me just make a few basic comments about what we're going to do. We're certainly going today to try and give you a good idea how to get your iPhone specifically hooked up with your Braille display We will try and cover Android as well, although as a caveat, while we have information about Android, and I will talk about it later, I do not have an Android phone. My research has been confined to trying to understand as best I can for presentation some information on how to at least get paired. In our notes that will also go along with the recording are specific key commands that will get you started. So I guess by way of a general overview of Braille displays in 2020, we have the idea that most Braille displays have a Perkins style keyboard to input text on whatever device or Braille display you have. In addition, you have the ability to type using the display's keyboard, and that's important. And in terms of another basic observation, many of these displays also have additional keys that take on particular meaning. And again, a little of that becomes specific to the Braille display that you have. What we'll try to do is today be as generic as we can, but certainly we'll try and address specific questions that do come up. Now, Tim, do you want to say anything about your input to start us? And then I'm just going to get my notes ready to talk about how to pair it with an iOS device in a minute.
Yes, thank you, Leo. My name is Kim Kilpatrick. I also have used Braille forever. And also my very first experience with a Braille display was also a VersaBraille. And I am crazy for Braille displays and using Braille with every device I can. Anytime I can do that, I'm excited to do so. I went several years in the middle with no Braille because it was expensive. And I swore when I got one back, I would never go back again to have no Braille. And so far, I haven't. We're going to talk about pairing displays. It's also an exciting time with Braille in that displays are coming down in cost a little bit. And I think that will continue. So it is a great time. It's nice to see some teachers of the visually impaired and some new Braille learners and some very experienced Braille learners. I'm very happy to do this presentation today.
Okay, at this point, what I'll take you through is a discussion of how to deal with your Braille display and an iOS device, a device like that, either being an iPad or your iPhone, but predominantly, for the most part, it would be an iPhone. And I'll warn you that for those of you who have maybe put off this process of hooking your Braille, connecting your Braille display and your phone, once we get you past the setup, it's there. So bear with me and take a deep breath. Listen to what I have to say. The notes will help you. One of the first things that you need to understand is that in terms of the Braille displays that we're working with and iPhones, you're dealing with a Bluetooth connection. Bluetooth Braille display connections are what are in store for you there. And you need to pair your iPhone and your Braille display so that that Bluetooth pairing takes place. And in preparing yourselves for that pairing process, which only has to be done once, you need to spend some time going through the manual that came with your particular Braille display, because it may be that your particular Braille display has to be paired. And as part of that process, you have to enter in a passcode for the completion of the process. So I hope that that isn't going to put you off, but certainly do that little bit of research and then off you go, okay? Now, in order to do this process, you start by turning on your Braille display. And again, as I say, have at your hand your pairing code information. You would then, on the iPhone, go to your settings. And again, don't worry about this, it's all in the notes. Then to Bluetooth, and then you turn on your Bluetooth from within that particular setting. Then you go back into settings, and then accessibility, then into VoiceOver, and then into Braille. And there's where you choose your display. And again, at this point, all going well so far, you may be prompted to enter in a code. Once you get that code successfully into the system, your device will be paired. If things don't happen, you may have to redo that process. But let's be optimistic and say that things have gone well. Okay. So with that done, you should be able to easily begin the process of seeing what you have on your machine, on your Braille display on your phone. Now, one of the things that I'm going to skip ahead and tell you is that I've said that the pairing is a permanent thing. When you want to turn off your system, you finish with it for that time, you turn off, you first of all put your iPhone or iPad in a locked mode. Then you turn off your Braille display and it's done. You come back in the next time, you've got your display ready to go. When you come back for the second and subsequent uses, you turn on your Braille display first, turn on your phone, and as long as they're within range, as long as they're within about 30 feet of each other, your pairing should work. So that's the overview of how to connect your iPhone, your iPad to your Braille display. So at this point, Kim, if you would want to talk about settings, preferences, and so forth, I'll come back after with some comments on Braille commands and the iPhone.
Absolutely. Thank you, Leo. And just to reiterate what Leo said, we do have a Word document which we will send to Jen at the info address where you registered. As well, I have a BRF of it, so maybe I'll send both of those documents so that people could have them if they desire that. One little quick thing is each Braille display also has a different way of putting it in pairing mode. You need to really read your manual for your display to see how do you put that display in pairing mode. If it's not seeing it, that could be from the Braille display end as well. So just make sure you've done that correctly. And now we're assuming everything is paired up and ready to go. I'm going to go through the settings, the Braille preference settings in iOS. So again, you go into settings, accessibility, VoiceOver, and Braille. You can skip this a little bit by asking SIRI to open VoiceOver settings. If you want to, she can't open or he can't open Braille within VoiceOver, but can open VoiceOver. And I'm going to go through the various settings in that Braille settings list. At the top is Braille output. So this is what you are seeing on your display when you're reading it. So if you double tap on Braille output, you have the options of uncontracted 6-dot Braille, uncontracted 8-dot Braille, or contracted Braille. So you would set that code to whatever you prefer and then go back out of there. If you swipe right, your next set of settings is Braille input. And input is the way you're typing into your display. So say you are, maybe you like to read in contracted Braille, but you prefer to type in uncontracted Braille or 8-dot Braille, you can do that. So your input has the following options: uncontracted 6-dot Braille, uncontracted 8-dot Braille, contracted Braille. And there's also an option at the bottom of these settings for automatic Braille translation. So if you set this one to on, it translates as you type. So it just keeps going as you type. But if you set it to off, it only translates after you press the space bar. So you can decide if you want it to be translating it as you go or after you press the space bar. So you back out of there. Your next set of settings has Braille tables. And you can add tables if you use more than one Braille language or you prefer to have UEB and other kinds of Braille in the tables. You can add those tables in there. And you can put Braille tables in your rotor so that you can then switch between them if you wish. Your next set of settings are status cells. This tells you about items on the screen. Think things like checkboxes and other things. I always turn them off. I find them very distracting. And they do take up space. So if you have a 14 cell display, an 18 cell display, you know, you may prefer not to have those cells there. But you can have them on the left or right edges of your display. And if anyone uses these in the questions at the end, I'd be really curious to know if there's a good reason to have them on and when you might have them on. I'd be really curious about that. Once you're finished there, your next set is a toggle about equations using Nemeth code for math. You can have this on or off. Your next setting is a toggle. It's for using your on-screen keyboard. So it says on-screen keyboard on or off. This means that if you're typing on a Braille display, if your Braille on-screen keyboard is on, you could actually slide your fingers around and press, tap keys if you want to do it that way instead of typing or in addition to typing. You can do it also when you turn it off, your dictation feature, your double tap with two fingers to dictate will not be available to you because you've turned that on, so far as I know. I turn it off most of the time, but once in a while I'll turn it on. There is a cord command to toggle that, which is cord 146 SH character to do it. I always think of shut off the screen. I don't know. So your next setting after that is also a toggle, turn pages when panning. So if it's on and you're reading a book or some long document, it automatically just keeps scrolling through pages. I always have it on. I would be curious to know if anyone has turned that off and why they would do that, if that's something you want to tell us in the Q&A. The next setting is also a toggle, and it's word wrap. It doesn't mean a rap word, a rapping music, but word wrap on or off means if it's on, the cells of your display will fill up right to the end, to each edge of your display. If it's off, you will only see a word, and the word will not be broken up by a line. Now, that's a matter of personal preference. Sometimes also people with small displays tend to leave it on, so it's panning all the time and you don't have to worry. But some people say, I don't want a word, half of a word on one line and half a word on the next. So that is a matter of personal preference. You can play with that and see what you feel. Now, as of iOS 14, there is an automatic panning feature that you can set to auto-advance your screen. So that may mean that the word wrap may be less important in some ways or more important. That is a new feature in iOS 14. The next setting is alert display duration. So this means how long a message will stay on your Braille display. So say you have a notification that pops up that you had a text from someone or a news alert or a weather alert or something. You can set it to stay on longer or shorter or almost no time. So again, if you don't want to be distracted by them popping up on your display, I mean, you can turn notifications off, but you can adjust that as you feel comfortable. And again, this is something to play with some of these powerful settings and to decide what you prefer. The next setting is fairly new. I think it came in iOS 13 and it's called Key Debounce Duration. Some of the words for some of these things are tell you exactly what it means, but it's how long it waits to recognize a keystroke. So I'm a fast typer, and I found setting this down to almost zero, or zero, I think, meant that the phone or the translation, the voiceover was more likely to keep up to my fast typing than it was before they had this setting in there. So it is something, if you find your Braille display is not keeping up to you, it will be something that you might want to change. I'm just going to jump down because as of iOS 14 this morning, I was playing with the new settings in Braille, and I'm just finding them here because there were two things. One was the panning. And the nice thing about the panning is you can put this in your rotor. You can add it to your rotor. There's another setting too, which is, these both are just underneath the settings I described. Length of time when you press a chord command. So, you know, sometimes you're typing and a chord command. So if anyone doesn't know, chord command, and we will talk about them in navigation, is when you press a spacebar with, along with keys to cause something to happen. So I think you can adjust the amount of time it takes to recognize that this is a chord command. So I guess if you're typing fast and you happen to hit space with A or something, it wouldn't do a chord command. But I haven't played with that. And the automatic panning is the last setting. And I did play with that. It's very nice. Definitely works really nicely. That's all I wanted to say about the settings. Feel free to play with those as much as you like. Leo, did you have anything before we got into navigation?
Well, what I wanted to say is that indeed, Kim, you've already made two references to chord commands. And indeed, when I come back to talk more about a list of commands, many of the commands I'll talk about are based on a chord sequence. Something, some combination of dots in combination with the space bar is what we mean by chording. The exception to that rule is dots 7 and 8 on most displays. Without the space bar, dot 7 is a backspace, and dot 8 is an enter key. And indeed, we'll emphasize that again when we come back to talk about Braille display commands. So Kim, back to you.
So we've provided in this handout a whole list of navigational commands that you can do from your Braille display. And I'm not going to go through them all because there are a lot of them. I just thought what I would highlight is the ones that I use the most. A few of the ones I use the most. And then just tell you that the way to find out what the commands do if you forget. So this is the first step. If you press chord K, that's the space bar with K, you get into the voiceover practice area or help menu. So any key press you press there, it will tell you what that does. So if you have a display with all kinds of buttons on it, you go into the help and you press right rocker down on the focus, it'll tell you move to next item. And so that's one way if you forget or you're not sure what to do, that's a very good thing. So you press chord K to get in and then you press chord B to get out of there. Chord B, I always think of it as back, B for back. That gets you out of anything that you're in, it goes back. The other great one I use all the time is chord H, which is like pressing your home button or your home gesture. And chord H twice is like pressing your home button twice, which is the app switcher. So that one I use quite a lot. Also, one that I use all the time, if you have a Braille display with cursor routing keys, which are the row of keys that sit above the Braille cell, little buttons that sit above the Braille cells, they are generally for editing when you're writing in a field. It takes your cursor to them. But when you press them on iOS, when you press one of those, it's like doing a one-finger double tap. So it's so great because you could be reading along, find the app you want, just slide your finger up to your button, tap it, and you're in. So that is so great. That is one of the greatest things ever that they did with this. The other ones I use quite a lot are Accord M for mute or unmute speech, because when you're using Braille, you might not want to have your speech on. Cord 1 or Cord 4 for moving previous next step. Cord 1, 2, 3 for moving to the top of your screen. Cord 4, 5, 6 for moving to the last item on your screen. So the first item on your screen and the last item on your screen. So those are ones I use a lot. Also Cord R, if you're listening. Cord R is like read continuously. So if I'm listening to speech and I just want to use the commands, but listen, I will use that one. Those are some of the common ones, but we have a whole bunch of them there that you can have and decide to use or not. There are many, many. And we are going to tell you also how you can customize them and change them and add things in as well. So, Leo, do you have any favorite commands that you use?
Well, you've nicely covered some of them, but one of the things I'd say, if you're still new to this, for example, if you are used to maybe muting your speech on your iPhone, you can still do that in the way that you've become used to. So if that list of commands, even that Kim has briefly referenced, intimidates you, take it slowly, go from there. To be very specifically, what we've specific here, we've put into our handout many commands that will be a good start. I would also say that if you really want to get into this in more detail, we've referenced the source to Anna Dresner. She has prepared a wonderful reference card for iOS 13, although no doubt she'll be revising for 14. And again, Anna has produced many publications for National Braille Press, and certainly you can avail yourself of that reference and take full advantage of her materials. I'm sure she will be updating those. So I guess with that, we will begin to transition to a short discussion of connecting.
Can I just talk quickly about how you can, where you go to customize your commands before beginning to Android?
Go ahead, Kim.
One other thing I will say, one thing I love about having a Braille display paired with my phone is I can, now when I ever get to go out in public again, when I'm sitting on a bus or a train or out in public in a public space, I can have my phone in my pocket and just the Braille display out. So I feel safer that way. And I can do everything from my Braille display. I can run everything from my, I can do all my commands that way. I don't have to worry about someone grabbing my phone or myself dropping my phone. That's one of the really brilliant things I find as well that I can do. Of course, it means I can read anything. I can read books in VoiceDream. I can read, you know, emails. I can read documents in a meeting. You know, it's just really, really great. I'm just going to briefly tell you how to customize commands. If you want to change something, and there's so many more you can add, I added a command to open VoiceOver settings. You can have a command for Siri. You can have all kinds of commands. And I won't go into great depth about this, but how you do this or where you go to do this is you go into VoiceOver again, into settings, accessibility, VoiceOver. And then you go to commands. You swipe until you hear Braille devices, and then you choose your device. So in iOS 14, if you have more than one Braille display paired, it would list them all. So the cool thing is, if you have two different displays, you can customize commands differently for different displays, because different displays will have different keys and rockers. And so, you know, if you do have a display for work and one for home, you can actually customize those. That's new in iOS 14. So you can change commands, including Braille. This is for panning, input, output, wrap, translate, word wrap, all this. Device. This includes changing things for the control center, the home button, the app switcher, notifications, Siri, showing, hiding, keyboard, orientation, lock, all kind, volume, all kinds of stuff. Interaction, that includes like double tap and hold, going back, scrolling, start and stopping action. Then there's a section called keyboard, and that includes bottom of document, top of document, copying, pasting. You can have commands just for that. Commands for, navigation is the next section, and that would include first item, last item, container, status bar, next heading, font changes, paragraph, next word, all kinds of things that I've never, ever really played with. Rotor, you can change how you turn the rotor, what gesture you use for this. And since I'm on that, I do love the rotor gestures in iOS. It's easier for some people than the twisting of the fingers. So it's chord 2-3 to go one way and chord 5-6 to go the other way. So it's easier for some people than the rotor gestures. The other section is voiceover. So there's a section, copy speech, item chooser, voiceover settings, read all, read from the top. So you can customize any of these ones. You can also, there's a command for screen curtain, which is the full cell cord. And all of these things you can customize within your Braille settings. And don't be afraid, because I was at the beginning, I changed a few things and I played with them and put some in, and then I thought, how am I going to remember that? When I pressed the OK to get into VoiceOver Help, when I had changed to a new gesture or a new Braille command, sorry, it told me when I pressed that key what it did. So it was the new command that I picked. So don't be afraid if you play with it. You can do that. And so what happens is when you go into something you want to change or add, you will just need to enter on your Braille display what key combination you want for that thing, and then it will be done. So that's all I have to say about that. Just feel free to play with these, and don't be afraid to, because it's very powerful and it's really good. I commend Apple for this, for sure. And now that we've talked a lot about Apple, Leo is going to talk to you about Android. And then I think after that is when we are going to open it up for questions.
Well, thanks, Kim. Now, at the outset of this section, I need to make it very clear that we wanted to provide information on how to work with Android, but I am not an Android user. So what I'm going to go through is more based on the research steps that I've been able to cobble together for today. What's important to understand is that in order to get your Braille display working on an Android phone, you have some grunt work to do up front. You have some pairing to do for sure, but you also have to get Braille back from the Google Play Store. We'll tell you how to do that in a minute. And what you end up working with on the Android side is that it works, the Braille back will work in combination with a screen reader to provide a combination speech and Braille experience on the iPhone, on the Android phone series of products. And you need to get a an additional package called, and here my memory is called, let me just look at my own notes here. My memory is failing me. I'll find it in a second. But it's a complicated deal to set it up. Now, as you use BrailleBack with the screen reader, you're able to get things to happen so that you can navigate and interact with your device using the keys on the display. And you can also input text on your Braille display. So to install BrailleBack on your Android device, you can get a BrailleBack from, as I say a minute ago, the Google Play Store using the following options. Open the store, and on your Android device, then search for BrailleBack. Select BrailleBack from the search results that you get, and then select the install option. Turn on BrailleBack on your display in order to, on your phone, in order to start the pairing process. Now, note that you have to make sure that TalkBack, which has just suddenly popped back into my head, is installed and is also on. Now, that's Android specific. And to turn on BrailleBack on your Android device, here are the steps that I've been able to pull together, and they're in your notes. You open the device settings on the app. You open accessibility, then BrailleBack. And then you turn on BrailleBack so that it's available. You go back to settings, and under wireless and networks selections, you go to Bluetooth. And then you turn on the Bluetooth. And again, I'm going quickly, but it's all in the instructions, so don't worry. You select the name of your Braille display. And if your Braille display is up there okay and everything has gone well, you're ready to go. And you don't have to redo this process again. With all that said, we've included, I've compiled a list of commands that seem to be the equivalent of the kinds of commands that Kim has just discussed on the iOS side. If we have anybody on the call this afternoon who has had any direct experience with Android, we'd welcome their comments. So with that said, unless Kim has any other questions, we can begin the transition into the question and discussion and sharing part of our presentation.
No, I don't. I will say some of the commands look a little bit similar. So help is cord H, but notifications is cord N. Home is cord H, sorry. Notifications is cord N. So in Android, they do look somewhat similar, but not quite the same. So I'd be curious to know if anyone has an Android device that they've paired with Braille, and how it's been working for them. Really curious to know if other people have tips about using Braille with portable devices. Any questions or comments you might have to enlighten us? To raise your hand, remember it's Alt-Y on your phones, and I'm on your computer and in the list of people on your phone. Mm-hmm. On your phone. Tammy will tell you all that.
Yes. Well, thank you very much, Kim and Leo, for a really enlightening presentation. Braille displays, I have to be very honest with you, is something I haven't really played with very much because I need to probably get something that's a little bit more user-friendly. So I really appreciate all your words of wisdom and the notes that will be coming. So to raise your hand, on the PC is Alt-Y, *9 on your phone. And if you have like your iPhone, there's the raise hand button. So we've got two people so far. I'm going to start with Bob, and then Peg has raised her hand too. So we'll start with you, Bob.
Okay, thanks. Leo, I wonder if we could either verbally now and maybe in the notes too, just review how to add some of those items to the rotor that Kim was talking about.
Oh, thanks, Bob. Yeah, that's a really good idea. You want to do that, Leo, or should I tell them how to?
I think you're a little more experienced at that one. I have to do that too much with the notes in my hand.
So if you go into settings, accessibility, voiceover, and then to rotor, it's a series of checkboxes that you can check what shows up in your rotor when you twist your fingers or do your chord 2-3 or chord 5-6. And there are a few things pertaining to Braille in there, including Braille screen input, which was the topic of another workshop that we did, which is up on the BLC YouTube channel. But now there's a few of those things. For example, the panning is now listed in there in Braille tables. Definitely is. I can check, Leo, if you want to take the next question, I can check what options are in there now that pertain to Braille if you want. I'll just go look. Yeah.
Okay.
I think two things to say. Number one, and it's very interesting that we do this at this time with iOS 14 having just hit the streets this week. You can see how dynamic a process this is, and it's to our advantage because certainly things are improving. As one example, as Kim has already stated, this panning option is going to be a great asset to have. So while Kim looks, I'll take on the next question.
Okay, question from Peg. You're the next one.
Yeah, actually, I have two, but if you just want one.
Two's fine. One at a time is good.
This is unrelated. The first one is about entering the passcode. This was in the iOS section. Now, I'm presuming you get, if I remember right, it's been a while since I've done pairing a display. You pick up the passcode from the Braille display's Bluetooth menu?
You'll pick it up in the manual that came with your display, and that's where
it
is specific to your display. And again, a little bit of the grunt work has to be done as you sit down to do that initial pairing.
Yeah, okay. Okay, that's great. And then,
it could be as simple as 0000 or it could be 1234. It depends on the manufacturer page.
Yeah, okay, that's great. Thank you. Just a refresher. Also, Kim, I was interested what you were saying. Yeah, you can put the phone in your pocket. So when you're using a Braille display, when you're traveling, do you have some way of carrying it so it's kind of hands-free? You don't have to hang on to it? And what size of display are you using?
Well, in my case, I have two Braille displays. I have a BI-14, which is 14 cell.
Oh, right.
And I also have what I call a budget Braille display, which is the initial Orbit Reader 20. That has 20 cells.
Mm-hmm.
And again, in both cases, they work for me, although my Braille Orbit is right now being refurbished and updated. Right. The beauty of that is indeed because the phone is so close to you in your pocket, mm-hmm. you're within range of your display. Mm-hmm. And as Kim nicely said it earlier, you have the luxury of having that one device. In her case, as she gave the scenario on the bus, she's writing. It works quite nicely.
Oh, yeah. So you have, like, I think they come with a carrying case with a strap that you wear around your neck. Is that right?
Well,
so you
certainly, don't have to, yeah. In both cases, both displays had nice cases that were protective of the devices and a lanyard around your neck for certainly the BI-14 was especially helpful.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I know our friend Jen Golden does this a lot. Jen, how do you do that? I know you're always have your display, like your little Braille display with you sometimes. And
yeah, I do have a Smart Beetle that actually has a strap. So if I'm like, people on this call who know me are going to laugh, but like, say I'm standing in the line at Starbucks and I'm like calling an Uber or I'm texting my friend that I'm meeting. Again, same with Kim, like my phone's in my bag and the Braille display is around my neck. And so I don't have to worry about not being able to hear what's going on or hear the text or whatever. I can just read it. The other thing when I worked in the government and I actually took the bus to work. Now I work at my house, but I had a bigger display. Like I have a bigger one that I use when I'm, you know, reading books and stuff. And so I would just, because I'd be on the bus and I would have, again, my phone in my bag and my dog kind of sitting between my knees and my display. Usually I would end up, because I don't want it to fall when the bus goes around the corner, right? I would hold the device in one hand and read with the other. So that's how I...
So it's not intense reading.
Okay, yeah.
Usually hold it with my left hand and read with my right.
But, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
It's tricky, Peg, because you also don't want it swinging around your neck when you're outside and have it break, because they're expensive too. So like it, but I just meant that
I think that's why I have it
be in your pocket. Mm-hmm. Like I've put them in those. What do you call those pockets of the sweatshirt that go through the
like the kangaroo?
Yeah, yeah. I put my phone in there. Yeah, and it's just in there, you know, and the Braille display can do everything. So I just haul out the Braille display and I'm sitting there with it. Yeah. Okay. Just to go back to Bob's question, the things I see here that can be put in the rotor that pertain to Braille is Braille Auto Advanced Speed, that's new, and Braille Tables, which is not new, but and also Braille screen input. So those are the things that pertain to Braille now. Just so.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you. Thanks for your questions, Peg and Bob. Does anyone else have a question? We don't raised hands at the moment. Somebody want to raise?
Marilyn. I can't find my raised hand button. I've looked through the participants a million times.
It's actually in the more button.
And look there too.
No,
I can't find it.
Oh, anyway, don't worry about it. Okay,
Marilyn, it's right at the end of the participants list.
Yeah, mine's just not. Oh, right at the end of the actual list. Usually, I found it under my name. Okay, great. Thank you.
They've actually moved it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So I do have a question.
Yeah,
if I may.
Marilyn. Yeah, you can go ahead.
My question is, when you go into the app switcher with H chord twice, is there a command to close an app that you don't want running?
Yes, what I do, Marilyn, is I press chord H twice and then it sits me on the first app and I press chord 6 to go down or chord 3, you know, to go around in the action items. Mm-hmm. And I get, say it says close phone. And I just double tap on the rotor button and then it'll stay on close like it would if you're double tapping with your finger. If you want to do all of them, it would stay. I don't know if there's a gesture or a command for that three finger swipe up to close.
That's kind of what I was curious about, because I use that command all the time. And I find, excuse me, that when I use my Braille display, I always go back to my phone keyboard to close an app that I don't want getting in my way.
Yeah, does anyone know?
The routing button, as if you were trying to open an app.
Yeah, for the displays that have the cursor router, it should work. And I guess the other thing, whenever you're in doubt, get back to the basics, go up, use a chord H. You'll get back out.
Oh yeah, I can do that. It's just, and it's not even something that's really, really important. It just annoys me that I can't figure it out.
Does anyone know if there is a command like the three fingers swipe up to close?
I'm just flipping through these as we go, and I don't see it here in this listing that I've got.
I don't, Marilyn. I just swipe down. I press chord 6 and it says close phone. And then I tap with my router button. And then get to the next app and it'll still be on close because it's on mail or whatever. And then I just keep double tapping my cursor routing. But I don't think there may be, if you look in the customizing the commands, you might be able to put one in. I don't know.
Right.
I haven't.
But it tells me the state of my life when I get annoyed. It's something like I have to pick up my phone to do a command. That's just silly.
It's not the worst thing. That, you know, as I said earlier, some of these commands, you know, if you're not sure what they are, just reach over to your phone and do what you do. And they work together. There's a tandem relationship between the two of them.
Yeah, and that brings a good point, Leo. So sometimes what I do is I'm reading with my left hand on my Braille display, and I use my right hand to swipe right with one finger or something. Like sometimes I just kind of want to read with one hand and navigate with the other using the gestures. So again, it's kind of finding the way, that combination that you like, because sometimes it is that combination, you know. So, yeah.
Because they don't have to work exclusively with each other. Remember, the partnership is there. And if your memory fails you on something and you know how to do it on the phone, do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. We have a question from Betty now. Betty?
Hi. Sorry, just had to unmute.
No problem.
I wanted to ask about the automatic panning, because I'm not sure I understand what that does. I know that in the previous to iOS 14, if that's turned on, then you don't have to worry about turning pages. You just keep scrolling down as you read, which is great. But is this something like the automatic scrolling feature on Braille displays?
Where yes. Yes, that's what it is.
Is that what that is?
Oh, yeah, so awesome. I'm going to go right in there, Betty, and tell you, like, I'm going to go right into my voiceover settings and just explain how they word it. Again, because I just found it this morning, so I do apologize if it wasn't as clear in the notes, because I was just playing with it this morning, so I didn't have it quite correct, maybe. So if you go into your voiceover settings and into Braille, there's word wrap, that's different, and then there's after ignore chord duration, so there's auto advanced duration, it's called. And it's set to 3 seconds. So if I double tap on it, it says seconds three. I could put it in by text or decrement or increment. And then it says, enabling auto advance will pan a Braille display repeatedly. Adjust auto advance duration to your preferred reading speed. So that's where cool. It is now. And it's very cool. I tried it and I loved it. It was great. And you can put it in your rotor, and I think you can, I can't remember what the command is to auto advance. I'll look that up if anyone wants to take another. Let me just look up the command to auto advance in here, because I don't know. I know there is a command to start and stop it, but I will need to look it up.
Oh,
okay, great.
Again, to emphasize, what you get here is this evolution of a good, you know, more features that are working to our advantage using a Braille display.
Right.
I'm looking, Betty, as we speak. I'm going to look for it here.
Oh, yeah, that's great. And I just wanted to mention that when I'm reading, if I use a Braille display and I've got it connected to my Kindle, for example, I always turn speech off. Because it's much easier to do it that way. If you leave speech on, I can't exactly remember what happens, but I think it doesn't always move. They don't synchronize very well, I guess is what I'm saying. I had one other thing I wanted to ask anybody who's familiar with Android. I do have an Android tablet, and I thought I might try connecting it with a Braille display. It's a Kindle Fire 8, I think, or something. And the screen reader that I have on it, I think it's called Voice View. It's not called TalkBack. But I think BrailleBack works with Voice View as well. And I will play with that and let you know.
BrailleBack came to the party, if you will put that way, I believe in the spring of this year. So it's a fairly new development on the Android side. And it'll be interesting, Betty, to hear what comes out of some of that as we move forward over the next few months.
Okay, we've got two questions, two raised hands. We've got John Ogilvie and Jen Golden. So John, do you want to go first?
Okay, I've been helping out Shelley work with her Braille display, so we've been doing different things. About the discussion about pairing and so on, I think the most important thing that we might have not done correctly is the exact order of doing things. So I'm going to do that again, like when you turn on your Braille display, when you turn on the voiceover and all the rest of that, right? So I'm going to do that again. We had all kinds of troubles because it kept had to keep on saying forget device and do it over again. And I can do it in a sort of odd, weird way. But I think if I follow these instructions that we're given, I think we can probably fix that. So that's good.
It's a little finicky sometimes, but it's good.
And when it comes to the code, when I was pairing it, you said, do you accept this code? And it kept on changing to a different number every time. But I just, you know, said, okay. But there's nothing you have to do in the Braille display. This is all from the device, right?
Yep.
I mean, from your iOS device. You don't have to, the Braille display have to confirm it or nothing, right?
Yeah, it should. Well, yeah.
Okay, anyways, I think, boy, with what you told me today, I think maybe we
can. And we've got the handout. You can have the handout. It'll be.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That'll be useful for Shelley, and it's something she can read, so that's great. And now the other question is, if you don't have 14 yet, can you use your device's automatic scrolling thing still, and it will work while it's paired with whatever you're reading?
No, this is new.
14, John.
This is new in 14.
I'm just wondering if you can use the built-in auto panning.
Oh, yeah. But it's not going to do it automatically.
Okay. We'll check it before 14 goes in. 13 is still there. But,
you know. I can't find how to auto. I was playing with panning and.
Oh, we figured that out for the one we got. We got this Braille.
No,
one.
But I just mean the, like, how do I start it in this auto advance pan?
There's just, well, most displays just have a command for that are specific to the display. That's what
we Well, that's the thing, John. Yeah. You know, generically, you start with what we have here, and then it becomes unique to the display that you're working with. And when we talk more at the end about some of the newer displays coming on the market, we can sort of overview what we understand about them.
I've got a tablet with voice view on it too, but because I don't have a Braille display right now, but at least I've played with voice view, so it is similar to most of the other Android.
Okay. Talk back. Okay.
Great. So if we can move on to Jen Golden, you have a question or a comment?
I wanted to say to Betty's question, we have, I don't know if she's a member of BLC, but she participates in a lot of teleconferences, not this one. And she's an Android user, and she actually has a couple of times, you know, she has said that she's got information, so I can.
It's Tracy, right?
Tracy Musso. I wanted to say her name on the recording, but I don't think she'd mind because she's very.
No, she doesn't mind it.
So can try to put you in touch with her, because and anybody else that has an Android device too. And the other thing, I just wanted to say one quick thing about the pairing code, because what I have found, I have paired several different displays, and even when the device, like the display says, like, here's your code, usually the iOS device is going to want 1111, unless you're using a HIMSS product, and then it's usually 0000. And yes, you do enter it on the iPad or whatever, as opposed to the Braille display, because the Braille display is not paired yet, right? So
that's right.
I'm just mentioning that because I was my very first device ever, I was trying to pair it, and the device told me that, like, my Braille display was like, this is the code, but my iDevice just wanted 1111. So I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah.
Really, once you get past the pairing, and you've got that set and stable, you don't have to do it unless something traumatic happens and the pairing is lost.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions or comments? We no raised hands at the moment.
I'm still playing with this, how to start the auto advance, and I got it going this morning, but now I have no idea what it is.
Actually, so, we have Diana. Diana has raised her hand. Diana, do you have a question?
I was just going to comment that I read a couple of articles and about people being very concerned with iOS 14. Because a lot of the third-party apps weren't ready to connect with it because they hadn't had enough time to be organized. So I personally turned off my auto update feature. I don't have that many third-party apps, but I don't want to get stuck. So it's just a cautionary note about the iOS 13 or 14 update. The other thing I was going to say is that I have a Cube Rail, and I was having a lot of trouble pairing that, but it works great with iOS. And the thing about the Cube Rail is it has extra keys, and I'm not going to go into a long thing about it. Kim knows, but it has extra keys, so it will emulate your Windows keyboard. So it's got a Windows and controls and alts right on there. So where I was having a lot of trouble with Bluetooth with it before, the most recent update I have, it's working really well now. So those were just the two comments I was going to make.
Well, one comment, Diana. I am glad I updated to 14, but I'm noticing one thing, and I don't know if it's just my devices to do with Braille. I was typing in the Mail app, the native Mail app, and it was putting words in different order. Like I would be typing, "Hello, Jen Golden," and it might say, "Hello, Golden Jen." Like it might put her the second word after the first, which I don't actually know why. I hadn't seen that before, and I don't know if this is a Braille bug in 14 or if some other reason, but that's the only thing I've noticed with Braille in iOS 14. I also heard a demo about being able to pair a Braille display with the latest watch, Apple Watch version, but I don't know much about that. It seemed to be quite sluggish when I heard the demonstration of it. So I wouldn't be too worried about updating. I know last year it was a big disaster, but if this word change of place of words is a bit weird. Like it doesn't do it all the time, but it does it a little bit. So I don't know.
Sometimes I think it's when if you're typing really quickly, you kind of overtype and your cursor's not moving fast enough, so it pops the one word in before the other one, which is kind of weird. But I have seen that occasionally, but not often.
Sometimes that's a reason to switch, if you're finding that at all. Some people switch to uncontracted Braille for input, or to computer Braille for input, so that it's not having to translate. Might speed it up a bit. But I like typing in contracted Braille, so I don't tend to do that myself.
I do too.
So we have a question from Peg. Peg, do you have a question?
Oh, thanks.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I don't know. Did you want to add something, John, to this? Is it relevant to what Diana was commenting on before we go to Peg?
Leo would like to make a comment.
Leo. Yeah. Okay, sure. Sorry, Leo. Peg.
Two things, Peg, and we'll come right back to you.
No problem.
I think one of the things that we've learned in previous years with upgrades to iOS 13, how many upgrades did 13 go through? I think it was about 6 or 7. Certainly, even within the first week last year, there was a big update that came out very quickly. So I think a little patience is going to be very much the order of the day there while they sort things out. It's a cat and mouse game. There's catch up and move forward, catch up, move forward. So just sort of hang in with some of that too. The other thing that became very clear in Diane's comments was indeed the range of Braille displays is considerable. And indeed the Cube Braille has the other function, the other keys, and that makes the products unique and sometimes even more powerful at times when you have those features on those keys. And the trick is to become as familiar as you can with what you've got as your display features. Peg?
Oh, yeah, just a question about one of Diana's comments. So at this point, and I don't intend to upgrade to 14 for a while, but when you say third-party apps, do you mean anything that isn't resident on the iPhone, like, say, Aira or your bank app or... anything that you have to install from the App Store. Is that what the third
those
party
would be examples?
Yes, that yeah. would be those, but not so all of them.
No, but we're good to hold off then for sure.
Mm-hmm. You know,
well, some of us. Yeah. Sorry, Leo.
Your banking ones are a good example where you could have a problem, and indeed, I've already seen an update this week to my particular banking app. So they're, in some cases, some places, companies are behind catching up. Others are right on tap to move forward. It depends. Again, Apple are very good with their developers for the most part. So just sort of watch what you've got. Certainly yeah. right now, your main Apple apps are well set to go unless any more bugs come out. Third party, just watch them one by one.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then regarding the handout, do we just email you at Jen at info BLC to ask for a handout or?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to need one to send to the AABC yeah. right away. So yeah. Thank you.
Great. Any other?
It won't be right away. Oh. Sorry.
Oh, no, sorry. I thought
Betty.
It was. Right. yeah.
Betty has a raised hand. Betty?
Yeah, hang on.
Oh. Are you okay there, Betty? Are you unmuted still? Are you muted still?
I think there's a playing dog in the background.
Something's going on. Mm-hmm. Betty, are you there?
Yeah,
are you there?
Just a second.
Oh, good. You're there. Okay, good.
That's a squeaky toy. Oh, I'm having trouble on my phone. Sorry, I am there. I didn't realize you could hear me. I was trying to get out of the participants list after I raised my hand.
We can hear you. Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, I can lower your hand for you if that's okay. Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, yeah.
You're good.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Now I can't remember what my comment. Oh, yes, I know what it was. I have updated to 14, and I'm not having any problems with third-party apps. So far, that doesn't mean I won't, but the ones I've used, I haven't had any difficulties with them. So I just wanted to mention that.
Well, that's helpful. And again, I just, it does vary from, you know, mileage will vary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I will play with that auto advance. I can't, while we're sitting here, I can't figure out how to get it started. Like I can change the speed of it, but I can't figure out. So I'm going to have to play with that and then put it in the handout for when we send it out.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Sorry about that, guys.
But. No, that's okay. That's okay. Any other questions or comments from anyone? No raised hands at the moment.
Yeah, I can talk about this. Auto scroll thing on the one that Shelley has. There's a command to start it and stop it, and I think it's the same command, And the speed thing is separate in the settings. That's how it works on her display. So I don't know.
Oh, it might be. You could be right. I thought there was a command in iOS to start it, but
no, that would belong to the Braille display itself, right?
Yeah.
John, on what display is Shelley working with? And you know, it sort of makes the point that indeed you have to know your Braille display. What is she using, for example?
Well, she's got a Braille Me.
Oh, okay.
And it's kind of, and the manual is good. I'm good at reading manuals, but there's a few holes in it here and there. So, but we're figuring it out. We're getting there. But this whole pairing thing, I think what you told me, that's going to be good. So when we get around to doing it, probably not today because of all these meetings, but we'll do that. And that way she can just turn it on and use it without having to go through weird things we've had to do to make it work. Right?
Yeah.
And I do have to make it pair just the long way around, but if I follow these instructions that were given, I think that should fix it. Okay.
Marilyn has a raised hand. Marilyn?
Thank you. I just wanted to quickly check on the procedure for getting the handouts, which I'm really, really excited about. Do they come to all of us or do we request it?
It will come to everybody who has registered.
Fantastic. And thank you. I know how much extra work that is. And this has just been a fabulous presentation.
Well, thanks, Marilyn.
Well, thank you. And, you know, I think in the same way that we did it with the one back in June when we talked about Braille screen input, putting together the handout gives people an extra tool
to work with. Mm-hmm. You can sit here and enjoy the presentation, or at least listen to it, and then have the follow-up materials to work with some of the stuff step by step.
Yeah, because there's tons of commands.
And is there a Braille screen input handout as well?
That was done back in June, and I guess...
Yeah, we have it.
How do I get that?
Oh, well, we can send it to Jen again. I'll send that'd both the BRF version of that and the Word version and the BRF of this and the Word version. So
wonderful. Thank you.
You email the info@BLC account and ask me for it. I will send it to you.
Mm-hmm. So info@BLC.ca?
It's at
BLC. BLC. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Okay. Oh, no, go ahead, Jen. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So it's info@blc-lbc.ca.
Oh, gracious. Okay.
Yeah, I know. There's the French. There's the French there.
Of course.
Too. Yeah. So, any other hands? Any other questions? Yet? No.
Well, maybe at this point, what I'll do is, and Kim can join me. We can talk a little about where are we going with Braille displays, and we can certainly come back for any last minute questions.
Just so you know, Leo, we've got about 15 minutes, so that would be perfect if you want to do that.
Sure. Yeah. Well, it's an interesting time. Right now, we have HumanWare poised at the end of the year to revamp their Brailliant line of products. Right now, they've got a promotion where if you pre-order whatever that new device will look like, you get included in that package, the BI-14. Again, what will the features be? From lessons learned, who knows what will ultimately be in the product, but watch for HumanWare to come out with new product. Orbit Research in recent months have done several things. They have given people an opportunity to upgrade the original generation of Braille Orbit 20s. And I've taken advantage of that path, and I'm waiting for that display to come back. It will have some other features. It'll have a calendar and I believe a stopwatch and a couple of other things built in. So we'll see what happens when that lands back in my hand. I always describe that as a budget Braille device. Also, too, from the Orbit side, they are promising a product for a 40-character Braille display. Again, with all the delays in getting pieces to put together, packages to put together, it's my understanding that those of us who have pre-ordered that will only be getting those orders completed in November. So you can see a lot happening there. Now, the most interesting possibilities may be on the APH side in a partnership with HumanWare on the Mantis and the Chameleon. The Mantis will have a built-in QWERTY keyboard, which for some people is a very good option to have, and indeed it certainly gives people what I call typing keyboard skills, and certainly is an interesting way to put in, to enter in text. So, you know, and there may be more developments, but it's very clear that we are going into a phase where the 70 Braille displays that I referenced earlier may be 75. So that's the overview. The last thing that I would mention is that on the Orbit Research side is something called the Orbit Writer. And again, it's not a Braille display. It is a Braille input device with other features that enable you to use it as a companion to the iPhone. And maybe for some, it might be an interesting way to advance their Braille skills and so forth. Just having received that device, I'm still playing with that. And it could be a very neat little way if you really wanted not to have to have your Braille display with you to quickly input Braille. So I guess that's in a very quick overview. And with that said, Kim, maybe if you want to talk about it, otherwise, last set of questions.
One thing I will say about the Orbit products is that the Braille is very nice and crisp on the Orbit products. It does make more noise when it's advancing and auto-advancing because of the way the technology is. It kind of sounds to me a bit like a rain stick, a little bit, when it's changing lines. The Orbit 40 will have cursor routing keys. The 20 cells do not. I don't know that I would want a Braille display without cursor routing. I find them so useful. So the writer is about the size of an iPhone 8. Apparently, I guess, Leo, you would know better than me. I haven't yet seen
that.
Yeah,
it is about the same length, and it's certainly very thin, and it's a very light little package that certainly could almost go in a shirt pocket, blouse pocket.
And it can pair with everything, and it only has Braille input keys and navigational keys, so you would be like a Perkins-style keyboard.
Yes, and in fact, if you've seen a Braille Orbit 20 and you know the keyboard layout, that's what you've got in this little device.
Yeah, so we'll keep our eyes open on all of this development, definitely. And put things in the newsletter and maybe workshops or presentations, depending on what comes out. But yeah, so if there's any other final questions.
Yeah, we got about 10 minutes or so, maybe a little less. So
just a quick one. Sorry. What's the name of that one again that has the QWERTY keyboard as well?
Mantis, I think it's called.
Braille Mantis, okay. All right.
Yeah.
It's an APH humanware developed product.
Okay.
The Mantis will be 40 cells, and then the other one called the Chameleon, I think it's 20 cells, and it's a Braille input keyboard, I believe, but I'm
That's my understanding of it, too.
Okay.
Thank you.
And relatively inexpensive for them. I think they've I can't remember, but a bit less than your average ones were. So perhaps the price of Braille is coming down a bit, which would be good for a lot of reasons, definitely.
Do you have has anybody used the Knut much?
I tested the Knut. I loved it, but I wouldn't buy it right now because it only is a standalone reading device. If I could get one to pair with a computer, I would consider it. The Braille was really beautiful. It's also very big and bulky.
Yeah.
You wouldn't carry it around, but their Braille was beautiful, really nice, and nice to have multi-lines for sure.
They are working on that, being able to pair it and being able to read Duxbury files and stuff.
Are keen to make that much more like that. And if it was like that, because the price point was about the same as a 40-cell unit, for 360 cells. So if they can get more features in, and those guys are really nice and really keen, I really hope that they do. And my understanding is that they really want to make this a great device because it really was. I really, really liked it a lot.
They have worked extremely hard for several years to get this product to where it is. They have a keen development team, really wanting to take it further. They come out of Ireland. And they really are dedicated.
And they also test with the community all the time. Like they were testing units with lots of us and talking to lots of us about what we thought. And that is always a really good sign if they are, getting input from the community, I think.
So right now it's just like a read, like you insert an SD card with material and read it. Yeah.
An
so
SD card or a memory stick. I think those were the only two ways you could, and that was also the way to update it, but it was very easy to update. I had to update it when I was testing it. It was quite easy to do. They sent me an SD card and I put it in and it updated. It also doesn't have a battery right now, but again, I think they're working on that too. So you have to be sitting at a desk with it on the table definitely in order to use it. But it was great for... it would be great for Braille music. It was great for like poetry. It was nice for a calendar, like, where you could kind of skim your hands over the page. So
a spreadsheet too would be another example
where that could be a really interesting tool. And I think even the orbit research people are looking at a project as well. So you can see where this may be going.
Yeah.
Sounds like there's a lot of advancements going on, which is great, especially with the new iOS 14, which is really good. So that's good. Mm-hmm. Any final thoughts? We've just got a few minutes left. We want to end on time for everyone's, just out of respect for everyone. Anyone have any final short questions? Maybe we'll let Kim and Leo. Do you have any maybe final thoughts? Maybe we'll do that, and then any other questions can be directed. I'll tell you how to do that later. But any final thoughts from Kim and Leo before we wrap up?
I just wanted to say, don't be afraid to play with your settings, with your help practice, like with your Braille display. Pair with your phone and you're not going to do anything. You're not going to break your phone and you're not going to break your Braille display. Because I've heard of lots of people who have Braille displays and don't use them because they're afraid or they don't know how to do that. If you want help and support, I'm happy to help you. And like Jen can put you in touch with me if someone wants one-on-one help. I know I helped Marilyn not long ago with hers. If anyone wants me, John and Shelley, if you want me to be on a call with you and talk you through some things, by all means. But really, don't be afraid to do it. That's what I would say.
Leo, well, any final thoughts from you?
My final thoughts are this. Certainly, as Kim has said, don't be afraid to work with your Braille display and your phone. It really is a winning combination. And I think for those of us who have been lifelong Braille users, it gives you that added dimension. And I think somebody even said earlier, reading becomes very pleasurable using a Braille display. So take it into the tasks you do. Hopefully one of the big advantages or benefits of today's presentation was that if pairing your device has been a hurdle, hopefully we can get you past that and into the good stuff. Thank you.
I just want to thank Leo and Kim for your presentation today. It was really informative, something that I definitely need to work on. In fact, I'll probably be getting in touch with Kim to talk about Braille displays. I have one that doesn't have cursor routing, so it might be nice to upgrade. And I want to thank all of you for coming and for taking the time out of your busy weekend to join us for an hour and a half. And thank you also for your patience as I moderate for the first time and figure out where to find the raised hands and all that stuff. So thank you so much for all your patience. And if you have any other questions, or as Kim said, you want to reach out to her for assistance or support, you can email Braille Literacy Canada at info@blc-lbc.ca. And Jen can get you in touch with Kim or can, you know, send you any additional information that we have available. So thank you again.
It's Marilyn. I want to thank you for doing a fantastic moderating
job.
Yes,
you did.
I also want to say, you know, this thing about contacting people to get help. When Kim and I did the workshop for the session that we did on pairing my Braille display and my phone, and I've had some experience with this, but I didn't like it because I found it quite difficult to use. What I didn't realize is how the commands had changed and how things had improved. And I just want to say that, you know, don't be intimidated to ask for help, because not only did I learn a lot, but we had so much fun. We spent more time laughing than we did working on Braille.
And texting
it was
people.
Absolutely. Yeah, texting it was great. Yeah. And when Diana and I did it, we would do these mad texting bees. And we've done this kind of in pairs, whether it was learning to text with the iPhone or whatever it is. And don't be afraid to set up a partnership to work on this. And I mean, I'd be happy to help anyone do this, because we all learn and it's fun, and darn it, we may as well.
Yeah. And Marilyn has helped me. Diana has helped me too with Q Braille and other things. And, you know, like, this is the thing, we're in a pretty unique clique of people in a way. Like a lot of people don't use these devices. Cool, so we're in the cool club. Yes, we are.
We're all there for each other.
The Braille Club.
Yeah, the Braille Club. I think we can all support each other. It's great. And if you can laugh while you're trying to resolve these things, that's even better. So
oh, yeah, we have fun.
Yeah. Well,
I know, you know, one of the things that's hard sometimes is when we're surrounded by people who have so much knowledge, sometimes it's hard to say, I don't know how to do this. But everybody has the things that they don't know how to do. And we just all have to get past it and know this is a really safe place to ask the questions.
Yeah.
Indeed it is.
Well, yeah. I'd like to thank Tammy and Kim and Leo for all their time and effort putting this together.
And that great means job. I get great your job. Vaccine, Bob, right? When you develop
yeah,
COVID.
Me too. I'm Bob, you and I are closer, so maybe I'm first.
We're up to the finest.